So this message was originally inspired by Graham in Swaziland. A friend of Graham sent him a verse to encourage him on our trip. And it was a verse from Joshua chapter 1. And he shared on the trip about how it was an encouragement to him. And I read around that verse, and then I found this adjacent verse that really struck me as being relevant on the trip and also relevant for me to talk to you about today. So some apologies to the Swaziland people who've heard a bit of this before, but I'm sure they'll appreciate a second go at it. And you probably know that I get encouragement from seeing a theme develop as people preach things and feel inspired and feel that I know I'm on the right track when it fits in with what other people are doing. So last week, Pete spoke about God's heart for a new move in this church and in our land. And that's been a bit of a theme throughout this year. And last week, Pete had a very specific word about fresh bread and new song as a feature of that move. And this morning, I was struck by what Deborah Lynn shared us as she described the call of the disciples, that they were called from the nets. They were called away from their boat, and how the boat was their safety net. It was their security. It was their comfort zone. And they had to leave that. And then they were called to go out and start fishing in different ways. And so this word tonight continues the theme of preparing for a new move of God. And the text tonight is Joshua 1 verse 6. Joshua chapter 1 begins, "After the death of Moses, the Lord said to Joshua." And then in verse 6 we read, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." And this verse is the lead up to the time when Joshua is going to take the people of Israel across the Jordan and into the promised land. But the background to this story starts many years before, because the Lord asked Moses to send spies to explore the land and bring back a report. And that story is way back in Numbers chapter 13. And the spies reported back that the land flowed with milk and honey, just as the Lord had said. But they also said that there were giants in the land. And in Numbers chapter 14, we can see the reaction to the news. The reaction of the people of Israel shows their lack of faith. In verse 2, all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly. But then a couple of verses on in verse 5, we see the reaction of the men of faith. "Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire assembly, 'The land we pass through and explore is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.' But the result of this is that the people rise up and refuse to go into the land, on the grounds that the inhabitants of the land will be too strong for them. They'll either lose the battle, or they'd be defeated and taken captive, or they'd be killed. But the Lord is displeased, and we know the result. Because they refused to go into the land, they were required to stay in the wilderness until all the adults of that generation were dead. And in fact, from the people, the adults of that generation who grumbled against the Lord, only Caleb and Joshua were to survive to go into the promised land." So that's the background to the story. And it's a very specific story about that event of crossing the Jordan and God's calling on Israel to enter the promised land. So what about us? Here's a verse that shows our relationship with Israel. It's Romans 10 verse 11. "As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We know that we serve the same God, both Jews and Gentiles. The promises and the power of God are just as real for us today. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. However, this is a new season. In the story we read, God's blessing was on Israel. They were his chosen people and they were to enter the promised land. But now, in this new season, the new covenant, God has chosen to work out his purposes through us, the Gentiles. Some of you have probably realized by now that one of my favorite verses is 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So now we are a people, a chosen people and a holy nation. A people and a nation that God wants to possess the land in these days. That doesn't mean God's finished with Israel. Romans 11:25 tells us God's promises and call on Israel are irrevocable. Once the full number of the Gentiles has been called in, then Israel will be saved. But now we're in a time when God's calling on us. He's calling on us to possess the land. He's calling on us to move in new ways in the coming months and years. And this call is about his chosen people now, his holy nation, moving to possess the land he will show us. So what encouragements can we find about how to approach a challenge like this? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have the victory when we go out and face the challenges as we enter the land. This reference specifically talks about victory over sin and death. And a move of God is about extending his territory into the areas owned by the enemy and defeating the enemy by addressing the sin and death in the world that's there through the non-believers and bringing them into the light. And here's another great verse, Romans 8 verse 37. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." And this passage is in the context of all the things that come against us and try and defeat us as Christians. And they're all listed in Romans 8. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, sword, danger. So if you move out into the land and try and possess the land, are you going to face these things, these problems? Yes, quite likely you will. But what will be the result? Romans 8 verse 38 continues, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." So when we are called to this move, to move on with the Lord, we may face hard times. Probably we will. Will we need to be conquerors in the name of the Lord? Certainly we will. Will we have the victory? Indeed, we really will. So back to the story of Joshua. What was the problem that they faced? When Moses sent the spies and they failed to enter the land, they didn't believe that God would win the victory. This is what Joshua and Caleb said. "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." So Joshua and Caleb believed that God would give them the victory, but the rest of the people didn't believe. They grumbled and refused to enter the land because they expected to be defeated. So the first requirement for taking the land is you believe it to be possible, that you trust the Lord and his promises, that is going to give you the victory. You go out in faith, believing in the promises of the Lord, that you will be able to take the land. Next thing is to consider, what is it that you are called to conquer? For the people of Israel, they knew where they were going. There were many prophecies before in the Old Testament where God describes the land that he's going to give them. You've probably read a few of them, you know, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and all the otherites. They were all the lands that they were going to conquer. They knew the extent of the lands they were called to conquer. They didn't know everything that was going to happen when they entered the land, because it took many years. The land was conquered gradually from the time of Joshua, then through the judges, even up to the time of King David before the whole land was conquered. And each step of the way, God guided them and gave them new directions and new steps to take as they went through the land and took it in possession for the Lord. And it was a long and complicated process. Undoubtedly, Joshua and Caleb and the people could not have understood everything on day one. What's more, it would have been very discouraging at the start if they knew how long it would take and how difficult it would be. We don't know the dates exactly, but it undoubtedly took several hundred years before the whole of the land was conquered. But the important point is, at the beginning, they had an understanding of the task. They had a goal and a vision given to them by the Lord of what God was about to do. And then in the story, they crossed Jordan into the Promised Land. And that story is in Joshua chapter 3. And just as an aside, there are some amazing similarities with that story from the time when they escaped from Egypt. They crossed through the water, through the Red Sea leaving Egypt, and through the Jordan entering the Promised Land. In each case, the waters piled up, and so that they crossed on dry land. The symbolism and the link to baptism is there. They went through the water, leaving Egypt to symbolize the cutting off from the past and the starting of the new life. But sadly, they failed and they disappointed God in their time in the wilderness. But then going through the water and crossing the Jordan, that indicated the cutting off of those sins, the entry into the new life in the Promised Land. That doesn't mean we have to be baptized twice. We are baptized once into a new life in salvation in Jesus, because that salvation is once and for all. Hebrews 7:27 says, Christ sacrificed for our sins once for all when he offered himself. Romans 6 verse 10 says, the death he died to sin once for all. So we were baptized into a new life once and for all. But the point is that we have to move on into this new move of God. And when the people crossed the Jordan and got into the Promised Land, was it easy? Was it a pushover? Well, in some ways it wasn't, because the first thing they faced as they crossed the Jordan was the city of Jericho. And Jericho was one of the most heavily fortified cities of that age. And they immediately have to seek God's face, listen to God's word and find out God's plan, and then go ahead by faith to take the city. And the story is in Joshua 5, and you probably know it, of marching around the city, blowing the trumpets, and the wall fell down. The victory is complete and absolute. So this sets a pattern for how God wants to possess the land. There has to be a time of preparation when you understand what the task is ahead. And it's understanding what is the land God is calling you to possess, and then believing by faith that it is possible and God will give you the victory. Then once you start on the task, it's about listening to God's word each step of the way, following God's instruction and taking the land. So what about us? Back to where we started. We have heard many times over the last year that this is a time of preparation. It's a time to understand God's new move. And there's a new land to possess. And there are some challenging questions. Are you preparing yourself for something new? Do you understand the land that you are called to possess? And so the key question I just wanted to raise tonight was, what is the land you are called to possess. We're all called to possess the land in a new move of God. And for each of us, this may be a different calling. But one thing is for sure, the land we are to possess is new. The land we are to possess is not in here. The land we are not to possess is not in this building. It's not about possessing this building and enjoying a nice service. That might be part of it. Growing the church, having more people here, enjoying new experiences in praise and worship, the greater presence of the Holy Spirit, that's all fantastic, but it's not the goal. That's what happens when we decide to go out and possess the land. We come here for the time of preparation. We welcome new people as we start to possess the land. We come here to celebrate the victories along the way and to hear God's word for the next stage of the journey. We come here to learn from God's word and to build ourselves up and prepare for the challenges ahead. We come here to get the fresh bread and the new song in order to go out and possess the land. But the land's not in here. The land's out there. That's what we're called to possess. And I said earlier, and read that verse, that we are more than conquerors. This verse is often associated with hardships in Christian life. And we use the verse as an encouragement. Where we have times of hardship, we say we are more than conquerors and we can get through these problems, like illness and other difficulties that we face. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely fine. But there's more to it than that. Do you know any conquerors? How about William the Conqueror? 1066 and all of that. Did William sit at home thinking, my sword's not very sharp, my horse isn't well? No, he didn't. He went out to battle. He conquered the territory he'd set his mind on. How about Julius Caesar? Did he sit at home thinking his palace needs redecorating, we better do that? No. He went out into the countries around about and conquered them. These people had a plan, did the preparations, and went out and conquered the lands. Same is true for other people you could think of, Alexander the Great, King David, and so on. They didn't stay at home in their comfort zone. They went out there to do some conquering. And it's time to find out, what is the land you are called to possess? For some people, just talking to their next door neighbour about the Lord is a challenge. That may be it. For some people, the first place to start and look for the land that you are called to possess. Some people may have a vision for their whole street and be able to go out in their street and start to possess the street for the Lord. Could be your workplace, your school, your college, your friends and family. God will call you to a place to possess. Some people have a vision for the whole town or even the whole country. But whatever is the case, you need to know what is the land you're called to possess. Otherwise, you won't know where to start. Just as with Joshua, that's not the whole story. As you move out in faith, God will give you instructions on every step of the way. And when you start taking the steps, then your vision will be enlarged and you'll be given new land to possess. And as with Joshua, part of the preparation is to find out what is the land you are called to possess. And to be sure, it's somewhere outside this building, somewhere where the new move of God is going to happen. We are God's chosen people, a holy nation. And Revelation describes the Lord going out to battle, seated on a white horse. He is the Lord who leads us into battle and ensures that the victory is ours. So that's our challenge tonight. What is the land that you are called to possess?